Yo, what's going on, y'all? It's Combo Breaker 99, and welcome back to another episode of Hashtag CB99 Talks. Back with y'all with another episode. I know I'm a day off, guys, but you know, you gotta bear with me. You know, I've been kind of busy once again, but I'm gonna be trying to drop episodes every week. You know, as long as I can get them out once a week to y'all, that's what I'm gonna always try to do, man. But yeah, man, I want to just talk some little bit of boxing today. Of course, a lot of WMMA talk. You know, I want to run through some different topics with y'all real quick. And yeah, man, got a lot of good fights matched up here. Devin Haney versus Jorge Linares. I want to talk about that just a little bit. And of course, Whaley Zong versus Rose Namajunas. A couple of different angles I want to talk to y'all about with that fight. Valentina versus Jessica Andrade. I want to run through that topic real quick with y'all once again. And Tanisha Tennant, I'm going to talk more about her in the future. You know, just her as a fighter. And why the UFC needs to stop stalling and stop slacking and sign this bantamweight. And two good matchups on July 24th are going down. We got Macy Barber versus Miranda Maverick. And Aspen Ladd versus Macy Chason. So, yeah, man. So, yeah. Good fights, man. But, yeah. Boxing. You know, I want to start talking more boxing with y'all again. And this is a good fight. May 29th is going down. The WBC lightweight champion Devin Haney makes his return against Jorge Linares. I like this matchup. You know, originally Devin Haney was in talks to fight Javier Fortuna, but you know, the negotiations has been kind of, you know, going everywhere at that fight. But finally, they got an opponent in Jorge Linares. The money got right. Negotiations is good. Got a venue. Got a date and location. That's all I want to hear with boxing. I want to hear signed contracts, solid dates, tickets on sale, and that's what's happening. I posted on my IG where you can get tickets. Also for this fight, because I'm looking forward to this matchup. I mean, it's not the fight that we wanted with between him and Teofimo Lopez, but it is that second tier level opponent that Devin Haney needs to continue to kind of build his brand and build his resume. You know, that's what I've been looking for in fights with guys like him, you know, and guys like Ryan Garcia. They need to fight these type of guys where, you know, Ryan Garcia, beginning of the year, he fought Luke Campbell, which was a good opponent for him, you know, that second-tier opponent. From there, he was supposed to jump up, but, you know, the call out of Tank, I don't know what happened. You know what I mean? I don't know. But as for Devin Haney, as y'all know, he has a belt. You know, you got to acknowledge that he has a belt. However he got the belt, he is the WBC champion. So with that, he gets to go in there and defend his belt against a legit guy, you know, a legit veteran in Jorge Linares. Now, style-wise, I think this is a good matchup to help Devin Haney look good, you know, as far as using his boxing skill, his counter skills, his ability to set traps, and kind of work on, you know, just being able to use that accuracy, you know. And first time out, when I thought about the fight between him and Javier Fortuna, I was like, man, that's going to be a crazy fight style wise, because Javier Fortuna, to me, he's a little bit trickier and slicker and a little bit rougher than Jorge Linares. Jorge Linares, he can get rough in there too. He likes to trade, but I think Javier Fortuna would have been that would have been a rough style matchup. So I think it came down to styles here, because Javier Fortuna, he's in talks to fight Ryan Garcia, and now, you know, Jorge Linares, he's matched up with Devin Haney. So I think it came down to like a entertainment thing too, where styles would make more sense and make these guys look a little bit, it would put more action in the fight, let's just put it that way, you know, on both sides. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to this fight. Y'all definitely got to check this fight out, man. Jorge Linares, I think he still has something left in the tank where he can make this a challenging fight for Devin Haney. But just an early look, I see Devin Haney going in there and putting a boxing clinic on Jorge Linares. And that's something I want to talk about, though, you know, as far as boxing clinical skills. You know, I think a lot of people don't understand Devin Haney. You know, they're so used to seeing prospects and young up-and-comers score knockouts early in their career and just continue to do that for like the first 20 or so fights. But you know, we're in a different time now. You know, that was the whole purpose of having guys like Floyd Mayweather around, Andre Ward, all these defensive fighters like James Toney from the jump. Like, you got to take the positive from these guys that kept them alive in the game and kept them taking less punishment. And that's what somebody like Devin Haney's doing. You know, as a student of the game, you got to take the good and apply that to your style. You know, take out the bad and use the good of all of these guys. And that's what Devin Haney's doing. And that's what kind of makes his style, you know, more so technical at such an early age. You know, so many people are used to seeing guys knock people out at this age, but they got to understand, again, he's a student of the game. and he's trying to go with self-preservation, you know, an earlier version of Floyd Mayweather, you know, and that's what's going to happen, you know, and that's what's supposed to happen. You know, early on in Floyd Mayweather, he took shots to give shots. He was Pretty Boy Floyd, but a young kid want to come up like Devin Haney, he's going to go back and watch and analyze, and he's going to say, okay, well, this is what Floyd did wrong early on. Well, I can kind of learn from that. All right, this is what I'm not going to do then. You know, I'm going to make my style a little bit more and more technical at an early age to avoid punishment. So that's what it's all about. That's why people have to give Devin Haney that respect. Like, he won't go in there balls to the wall trying to go blow for blow with some of these guys whenever he had the technical background of a guy like Floyd Mayweather. And, you know, under that type of guidance and being in the money gym, you know, so people have to respect that. You know, that's why I do. You know, he's a smart kid. You know, he's learning now that it's not cool to take punishment. So that's just something that boxing fans and, you know, casual fans are going to have to understand. And you're going to see a lot of that in this Jorge Linares fight. But if the knockout comes, believe me, he will take it. You know, he's still growing into his man strength. But if he sees the knockout, he continues to bust up Jorge Linares, he can't stop it. So that will be an option for him. So yeah, man, definitely a fight I'm looking forward to. Like I said, it's the second tier level guys, and if he gets him out of there, you know, it's going to start backing guys up in the corners, like, you know, Lomachenko and Teofimo Lopez and Ryan Garcia. They're going to have to fight him pretty soon. You know, they keep making up excuses that he ain't fought nobody. We'll get in the ring and fight him, take his belt, take his oath, and let that be done with it. You know, it's kind of like a contradictory statement there. You know, it's kind of like, okay, if he's nobody, let me continue to go over here and fight these nobodies, you know, while this nobody, you know, continues to reign with his belt. You know, take the belt if he's a nobody, you know what I mean? So yeah, man, definitely looking forward to that fight. All right, moving on. April 24th, of course, it's going down. We're going to keep talking about this fight. We're going to keep talking about it till it happens, right? All right, Weili Zhang versus Rose Namajunas. Real quick, the angle I just wanted to talk about on this episode is similar to the video I did about Valentina and Jessica Andrade. Who's going to have to step out of the box more, Weili or Rose Namajunas? Well, you know, this fight is a 50-50 fight, so I'm going to have to say both fighters are really going to have to step out of their comfort zone. They're both very good technical fighters. I think Weili Zhang, she depends more on strength and power, but she has a technical side to her, whereas Rose Namajunas, she's more technical, has a solid technique, but she has a little bit of strength in her and a little bit of dog in her as well. Just a little bit of dog, not compared to Weili. So there's kind of a balance there. So that's why I say it's a 50-50 fight, and both fighters are going to have to, you know, step out of their comfort zones in this fight, more so than Valentina will against Jessica Andrade. That's just me, though. I think that Rose is really going to have to go in there and make this a good stand-up fight, where if that happens, where she's just continuing to stay on the outside and box, and she chooses to box and just strike and stay, you know, completely on the outside, slide in and out on Weili, you know, that's going to make Weili uncomfortable. Because, you know, Weili has some nice leg kicks. She, you know, she's a very strong fighter and some decent stand up. Decent, you know, whenever she puts that pressure on you, that can kind of throw you off with that powerful left hook she throws behind some of her leg kicks. But I think you'll see her kind of getting a little bit uncomfortable whenever the fight is out of range and Rose continues to keep it out of range. Because there was even some moments in the Joanna fight with Weili where Weili was looking a little bit uncomfortable. It wasn't until she started to really force that dog on Joanna and she started landing big shots to the forehead that she had some success. So she did have to step out of her comfort zone there. You know, she got rocked a few times, but she made those adjustments. And I think going into this fight, you know, Rose presents a different style than Joanna. She's going to be more of an artist from the outside, and if she continues to, you know, stay on the outside, it's going to make Weili a little bit more uncomfortable here. So Weili's definitely going to have to step out of that box and get used to trying to get past that jab and get used to that sliding in and out unpredictable footwork of Rose Namajunas. So early on, I could say, yeah, Weili will be uncomfortable with that boxing style, but it all depends on if Rose Namajunas stays focused for 5 rounds in this fight. You know, I don't know what do y'all think about that, because just going back and looking at a lot of Rose's fights, like, there were so many moments where she was just controlling the fight, looking good, looking like an artist, just painting her opponents in there. But the minute she got tired or let up, you know, it was just like she was a sitting duck, you know, even against Carolina, against Tisha Torres, of course, Jessica Andrade. That's why I say, like, if she can keep that up for five rounds, she's a dangerous fighter. You know, she's a dangerous fighter. You know, she looked good in the Joanna fight, the Joanna rematch, for so long. But whenever she once again kind of let up in that third round, Joanna started landing more. She started landing more leg kicks. You know, she started breaking her down a little bit more. She started getting her jab in more. You know, so I think Wei Li, you know, she's going to have to be able to weather the storm a few times and, you know, get countered a few times, eat a few shots, and then after that, learn on the job that, okay, if I continue to step in this way, I'm going to continue to eat this jab. Well, it's time to make that adjustment. It's time to make that adjustment and start going to the body a little bit here. You know, it's time to start making Rose overthink, you know. So I think there'll be moments where Wei Li overthinks in this fight, and she will get a little bit frustrated, you know, whenever she starts eating some of those, you know, precise shots from Rose Namajunas. But other than that, I think, you know, I think she does have the grit to go in there and still make it a challenging fight. But it's really going to take a lot, just like it did with the Joanna fight. So let me know, guys, what y'all think about that, though. Definitely gonna be a good fight, like I said, 50-50. I will give y'all my breakdown prediction soon, man. It's coming. All right, so yeah, back to this topic real quick. Yeah, same with this fight, Valentina versus Jessica Andrade. Like I told y'all, I feel like even with this fight, Jessica Andrade, she's gonna have to step out of the box more so than Valentina, because I just feel like Valentina has all of these other tools that she will use in this fight if need be, and she's been preparing for that. She's like a survivalist that prepares for everything, and I think whenever doomsday comes, she will be prepared for that bomb whenever it drops. You know, that's why I say, like, Valentina going into this fight here, everything that Jessica Andrade will bring to the table, she's already trained for throughout the years of her career. You know, she's always been waiting for, like, these fighters that just come in with uneducated pressure and, you know, crazy relentlessness. You know, she's been able to, you know, shut that down in the gym before, because they always plan for that type of that type of attack. They prepare for everything, basically. But for Jessica Andrade, you know, she's got to step out of the box. She's got to step out of the box and be more so educated, like we saw in the Caitlin Chikagian fight. You know, the body shots were much more methodical. They were tactical, and it was a slow breakdown. Like, the more and more I go back and look at that one round, I did favor Caitlin a little bit there in the clinches, but when you go back and look at the body work and the inside work from Jessica Andrade, it was much more technical, and it was improved. So if she comes into this fight with Valentina and tries that old style of just going straight in, she will get hurt, she will get stopped. But she's gonna have to go in there and take what she did in the Caitlin Chikagian fight, multiply that by 50, and, you know, that'll get her the results she wants. But it's gonna be uncomfortable, because, you know, this is something she don't do a lot. That's why I say she's the one that's gonna step out of the box here, or have to step out of the box in order to win this fight. You know, because Valentina Shevchenko, you know, she's not going to just stand in there and let her take her to the ground and slam her. You know, it could easily be Joanna versus Jessica Andrade 2 in there. You know what I mean? But she could easily get stopped too. You know, especially at 125, I think Valentina definitely packs that single shot power that could, you know, catch her off guard and knock her out. So, got to be thinking out of the box in this fight. You know, got to be much more educated. Got to pump a jab out there. Got to attack the lead leg. And you gotta go to the body. Don't head hunt. Go to the body. So I know that's a lot on the plate for Jessica Andrade. That's why I say she's going to be the one stepping out of the comfort zone, because it's a lot to deal with when you're dealing with the flyweight champion, Valentina Shevchenko. So let me know, guys, what y'all think about that. Who has to step out of the box. All right. Real quick, let's talk about this fight again, man. This episode, I just wanted to, you know, fill y'all in once again. July 24th, it's going down. Macy Barber versus Miranda Maverick. I do like this matchup. It wasn't a matchup that I was, dying for, or petitioning for. I was like, okay, when I heard it was in the works, and then when I heard it was finalized, I was like, okay, I do like this. Because when you really think about it, it's two solid early 20-somethings, you know, young prospects that are going to give it their all. You know, you got one over here in Macy Barber who, you know, she talks the big game. She has a lot of dog and a lot of grit. Then on the other side, you have a fighter with the same type of grit, but it's not shown the same way. She's not as vocal. Her results, what you see from her is more so the hard work ethic. You know, you see a multitasker, you see a goal-oriented fighter in Miranda Maverick, where you see on the opposite side, again, Macy Barber, she's more so vocal. She works hard, but she's more so pushed off of the toughness in her, the dog in her, that fighter that just wants to fight anybody, you know. But when you look at somebody, again, Miranda Maverick, she seems like that growing student of the game. You know, it's not a lot of talk. It's more so confident. It's not a lot of brash talk. It's a lot of confident talk. And Miranda Maverick, you know, she likes to go in there and just perform and then go back and kind of talk about what she does, do her homework and make the improvements in that fashion. So two different personalities, which, you know, it's going to bring two different styles. Early on, I just really feel like Miranda Maverick has the style to go in there and dominate. I really do. I feel like she has that style to dominate. But in order to do that, you got to get past the equalizer in Macy Barber, which is that power, that right hand, that left hook. You know, I feel like she has a lot of power. You know, she's a big flyweight, but doesn't have that physical strength. So the physical strength factor, I still give the Miranda Maverick too, but she just can't stand in front of her and, you know, go in there and trade. So I think it's going to be an explosive fight. Again, it wasn't a fight I was looking forward to. I was more so looking forward to Miranda versus the Antonina Andrea winner, you know, because I think that fight has a lot of significance behind it. But this one here is still a good matchup, you know, prospect versus prospect. But I think that Macy Barber, you know, she's going to have to go in there and really make a big statement. You know, Roxanne Modafferi, Alexa Grasso, you know, back-to-back losses to those seasoned fighters like that. You know, she needs some type of confidence builder. So I really think that this fight is going to pull something out of her. You know, it's gonna make her feel like that that wolf backed up against the, you know, backed into the corner, you know, by you know, another rival pack. You know what I mean? It's going to make her feel like, you know, I got to give it my all this time. I got to kill this time. So that's the danger factor that Miranda has to worry about also in this fight. And then, you know, Macy, she has to worry about, you know, she has to worry about what Miranda's going to go in there and do. You know, she's going to be bringing so many different levels. So her mind has to do like all these other fighters. You know, it's got to leave the comfort zone. It's got to leave the comfort zone and, you know, think of the unthinkable that could happen in this fight. You know, don't just go in there and think, I could go in there and knock her out, or she's going to be a sitting duck for the knockout. No, what does this girl bring to the table? You know, what's her strengths? What's her weaknesses? What can I nullify with my strength? You know, so it's just so many things that I think about with so many other fights that I'm applying to this. You know, I'm just kind of giving y'all a taste of what's going on in my brain and what kind of questions I ask myself sometimes. But yeah, I'm looking forward to this matchup now that, now that we know it is finalized. Let me know, guys, what y'all think of this fight. All right. Yes. Tanisha Tennant. You know, this is a fighter, you know, I fully support Tanisha Tennant. You know, the Invicta FC Phoenix Bantamweight Series tournament winner. You know, she went on to the Contender Series, in my opinion, fought out of her comfort zone at featherweight and won. But, you know, she got the raw end of the deal in that fight. And ever since then, you know, she's just kind of been falling in the background, you know, just kind of falling in the background. I know she's still out there working, you know, she's getting prepared for a call from Invicta or whoever, you know, wants to sign her. But this segment here, I just want to say, look, it's time, man. It is time for the UFC to just recognize real. You know, Tanisha Tennant is a fighter that really needs to be signed to the UFC ASAP. You know, she needs to be signed to the 135 pound division right now. You know, I just feel like Tanisha Tennant brings a lot to the table. You know, when I first saw her in the Invicta series and a couple fights before that, I was like, okay, this girl brings something to the table. And the number one thing I say she brings to the table is IQ and identity. You know, she's not a fighter that's going in there to try to satisfy the fans. You know, she's going in there to fight for her. She's actually in there. You can actually see her studying and breaking down her opponent. And you don't see that a lot in these fighters out here. You know, that's why I say there's special fighters out there. You know, there's hard workers, but then there's just naturally gifted fighters with that type of IQ. You know, the Terrence Crawfords, the Floyd Mayweathers, the Andre Wards. Tanisha Tennant, she falls in that category of, you know, smart fighters. You know, when she goes in there, she's working. You know, you can see her actually, you know, she's in there downloading the information, breaking her opponents down. You know, number one thing I always remember that she said is, I do me. You know, she says, I just go in there and do me. And that's the very important part of being a champion. So they got to do it, man. They really got to sign her, man. Like, I had to make this one. I had to make this segment too, because I'm gonna do another video, of course. But it was just whenever I was going back and doing another video when I was talking about the WMMA matchups. Okay, I was like, okay, first off, Lupita Gunita is LFA strawweight champion. Boom, they got her in there with Jessica Penne. Then I look this way, I'm like, oh, Montserrat Conejo, originally supposed to fight for that Invicta strawweight title, but no, boom, she signed and she's fighting Cheyenne Bayes. And I was like, oh, what's going on here? Then I'm like, boom, Erin Blanchfield, you know, promising flyweight from Invicta FC. She's going to be fighting Norma Dumont, which is canceled now. But it was just like, wow, they're signing all these girls, but like, why are they not signing Tanisha Tennant? You know, no, they're putting Tanisha Tennant through the Contender Series, and you know, they don't give her the win, and now she's on the back burner again. So I'm like, wow, why are they just like going around her? Why are they just going around this talented fighter? Because I mean, out of all these fighters, you know, next to Erin Blanchfield, I feel like Tanisha Tennant is the most promising one. You know, I feel like she's better than Conejo. I feel like she's better than Lupita Gunitez, even though she does have the, even though she did win the LFA strawweight championship. But I just feel like Tanisha Tennant has something that, you know, she's bringing to the table that the UFC are not recognizing right now, you know. So just get her in there. I mean, whenever you have all these other fighters that you bring for the Contender Series and they're failing, that should tell you something. You know, you need to go with the raw talent. You need to go with the smart fighters that are actually in there making noise and actually taking names and are actually bringing, like, their own identity and skill set to the octagon. And that's Tanisha Tennant. And, I mean, the number one reason they need to sign her, come on, man. Like, this bantamweight division, it's not getting any livelier. You know, it's definitely not getting any livelier. So why not put her in there and bring some life to the division? I mean, you got fighters about on their last leg, you know, whether it's Sarah McMahon. You know, we've seen GDR time and time again, Holly Holm. They've already challenged for the belt so many, you know, so many times between the two of them, and nobody's won it. You know, I mean, of course you got fighters like Yana Kanaskaya in there. You got Macy Chason in there, but Macy really needs to be a featherweight herself. But other than that, I mean, it's kind of slim pickings. I mean, you got Julia Avila, you got Piana Kansas, Sara Eubank, but come on. You need to bring in this new blood. I mean, besides Julia Avila, there's not really much new blood in the bantamweight division. So you need to go ahead and transition her in and, you know, put some new life into the division. Now, I think Tanisha Tennant has that skill set and, again, that personality that's going to bring something to the table, you know. So just sign her. Just sign her. I mean, y'all are making a big mistake not signing Tanisha Tennant to the UFC. Very smart fighter, good stand-up fighter. Really working on her being a well-rounded fighter. She showcased, you know, all these skills against a big challenge in Danielle Wolfe, and won, in my opinion, she won the bantamweight series in Invicta FC. What more does she got to do? You know, what more does she got to do in there? But yeah, definitely gonna break this segment out so y'all can hear this. Y'all got to sign this girl, man. Y'all signing everybody else, going right around her, and you failed with some of these other Invicta fighters. You failed with some of these contender fighters. You know, I hate to say fail, because you know these girls are trying, but y'all are missing the one gem that's right under your noses. So you got to sign her. All right. Last but not least, I'm going to be quick on this one. July 24th is going down. Number 3 fighter, Aspen Ladd, is going to be taking on number 9, Macy Chason. This was a fight that I was bringing up. This was a fight that I was figuring they were going to match Macy Chason up with next. It was either this fight or Yana Kunaskaya. Either one I'll take. But Macy Chason, you know, I'm a fan of her. You know, she's a raw talent. I'm more so a fan of her skill set at featherweight. I mean, you can kind of see the difference here, because she does have to kill herself to make weight at 135. I feel like she can really let it all out at featherweight, but I still support her. You know, I feel like she's bringing life to the division and bringing life to the UFC whenever she can fight and whenever she can put on a show at her best weight or at her best condition. Going into this fight here, you know, Aspen Ladd, you know, she's been out for a minute because of the knee injury. And, you know, I think she was actually calling Macy out. You know, I think she was actually calling Macy out, because Macy acknowledged that, look, hey, the number 3 fighter's calling me out, so, you know, let's do this. And the fight is being made. I like this matchup for Macy Chason. You know, it's going to get her closer to that title shot. Like I said, we do need new blood in this division. And if she can get that win, hey, if she can get that win over Aspen Ladd, so be it. I think she definitely has that style that can go in there and frustrate a fighter like Aspen Ladd. You know, Aspen Ladd, you know, she's a big, strong girl. She was fighting, you know, I think at flyweight early on in her career. And, you know, she had to move up because she was having trouble making weight. But she, you know, she's a short little compact fighter herself. You know, she has some strength too. But I think after this long layoff, I'm going to have to favor Macy Chason in this fight. You know, I think that Macy, you know, last time out, even against her competitive fight with Mari Renault, you know, she showed some nice levels to her game, you know, as far as her stand-up, you know, being able to switch stance to set up her left hook. You know, I used to know her more for her right hand, but she's definitely been, you know, adding that left hook to her arsenal. Her clinch game is looking good. You know, she's just overall a big, strong woman in there. So I really don't see Aspen Ladd, after a long layoff, going in there being able to edge out a fight against Macy Chason. She's just too strong. You know, she's probably one of the strongest bantamweights in the division right now. You know, probably would be one of the strongest featherweights as well. You know, that's why I say they need to make this featherweight division. But yeah, definitely a fight I'm looking forward to. Like I said, so far with these WMMA fights for July 24th, they're shaping out the card nicely. But yeah, man, that's pretty much all I got on this episode, guys. Like I said, I'm doing this episode on the fly. I just wanted to come through again and talk to y'all, you know, about combat sports, you know, things I love, whether it's boxing, you know, or MMA as a whole. But yeah, man, got more coming. CB99talks.com is up and running. You know, check the website out. If not, you can go to iTunes now and subscribe. I'm actually posting all the episodes right now. So the episodes, this recent episode, it should be up later, probably by Sunday. But y'all can go back and check out some of the recent episodes I've done. I mean, some of the past episodes I've done. I'm trying to catch up now. I think I'm up to like 22 or 23 on the page and on iTunes. But yeah, this is episode 51, so I'm going to try to get it all the way up. I'm just doing it, you know, numerically, trying to get them all on there. So yeah, check out CB99talks.com or go to iTunes and just type in hashtag CB99talks. But it's coming on Spotify. It's coming on Google Play. It's going to be on all those different platforms. So yeah, check me out there, guys. And make sure y'all subscribe here on the YouTube channel. And follow me on Instagram at ComboBreaker99. At all boxing every day. Yeah, guys, that's all I got on this episode. Combo Breaker 99. I'm out. Subscribe. Peace.